Throughout this year, we've been talking about connecting to God and one another. And in the season of Lent, we talked about connecting to God, listening to the voice of God within us. And we moved through Holy Week, this Holy Week, with so many rich experiences with music and drama and pictures and the Stations of the Cross. And now we come to this day, this Easter day. Here we are. Everything in our Christian faith points to this day. Sometimes we think it's Christmas, that Christmas is the main deal, but it's not. Because without this day, Christmas would mean nothing. This is what our Christian faith points to. Easter, that Jesus has conquered death. What does that mean for us? Well, every day we face death. Someday we'll face the death of our bodies in this life. Every day, though, we face challenges and struggles and sorrows. And this day reminds us that Jesus conquered death. And so as you listen to the scripture today from Luke 24, I invite you to think about what is God saying to you today to bring you hope, to bring you comfort, to bring you strength. Hear these words from Luke 24.
The scripture is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The word of God for the people of God.
Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Open our hearts to hear your resurrection story. In Jesus' name, amen. So did you know that you have to go back more than 60 years for the last time Easter and April Fool's Day were on the same day? That was back in 1956. Easter Sunday fell on April 1st. Since 1900, so 118 years, Easter has fallen on April Fool's Day only four times. But it will happen again in 11 years in 2029. That's a little bit of trivia for you to share over Easter dinner today. April Fool's Day, which we celebrate today, or commemorate anyway, has been observed in some form since ancient Roman times, when they had a holiday that was set aside for antics and pranks, frivolity. That it usually happened around the start of spring, and that's because it signaled a change from the dark days of winter to the cheery days of spring. It wasn't such a cheery day when those women headed to the tomb that Easter day long ago. Have you ever thought about the courage that it took for those women to set out in the dark, in early dawn, that day? They'd gotten up really early. They'd gotten their spices and their oils all together. And they gathered outside someone's house, and they headed toward the tomb. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women, unnamed women, with them. If I was one of them, I probably would have been afraid. After all, they were going to the tomb of a man who the Romans had brutally murdered as a criminal, and these women followed him. Who knew what waited for them if they were known to be Jesus' followers? And yet, they went. Now, when they got to Jesus' tomb, they discovered that the stone was rolled away. And in another act of courage, they go into the tomb. Can you imagine that? The stone is rolled away, and you go ahead and go in, and they find nothing. We're told that they are confused, that they're perplexed. And in that confused moment, two visitors appear in dazzling clothes, and now the women are justifiably scared. "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" the visitors say to the women. "Remember what he told you, that he would be alive again on the third day." And then the women remember. They remember what Jesus had told them. And in another act of courage, because who is going to believe them, they go back and they tell the disciples and the followers of Jesus what they found. And you know what? They are not believed. Finally, Peter does go back to the tomb and is amazed. It is not until later on in Luke, though, that Jesus actually appears to his followers. Why are the women able to be courageous? To do the things that they do. Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, the other women. Why are they able to do this? To go to the tomb of a Roman criminal. To be confused. To have a frightening encounter with angels and yet go and tell the story. How do they have the courage to do that? They are able to do this because Jesus showed them how to be courageous. He healed the sick. He taught his followers. He held children. He showed compassion for those who hurt. He loved on the people. Jesus loved on the people. Also very different from those Romans who ended up capturing and killing Jesus. So different from the Jewish religious leaders who had called for Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus challenged those who don't love the people. And Jesus worked his way into the hearts of the women. They grew this deep faith in him. While he was still with them, he gave them new life. They'd already seen Jesus conquer death. He raised people from the dead. Really, he raised Lazarus and others from the dead. And he'd raised many of them to new life. He reached into the darkness of their lives, Mary Magdalene, Peter, and others, and lifted them up and out of their graves while he was still here. And he gave his followers courage and strength and hope and life. They'd seen and known Jesus conquering death. What I think was really surprising to the women and to Jesus' followers was that out of Jesus' own suffering and humiliation came new life. He was alive again after suffering and dying. wasn't like he'd lived a long life and died peacefully and then rose again, or became a king or a ruler and then died of some illness. It was out of his suffering on the cross, taking on the burden of humiliation and of pain, that he came alive again. Imagine that. I am not surprised that Jesus is alive again. I have seen him bring new life many times. I have seen people recover from deathly illnesses. I have seen relationships restored in families and among friends and among communities of people. I have seen the greening of the desert after rain, after drought. I have seen the magnificent sunrise over the mountains, not just today, but every day. What surprises me is how God continues to reach into the graves that we dig for ourselves and pull us out of our suffering and our sorrow, our difficulties and our challenges, and sets us free and gives us new life in ways big and small. What surprises me still is that God does all of this out of great love, not out of duty or obligation or just because it's a nice thing to do. That's why Jesus did what he did here on earth, out of great love. Why his followers picked up his courage and carried on, out of great love. Not a desire for power or kingship but out of great love. Love is at the root of everything for God in Jesus, or the lack of it. And I think about the words of that great theologian, Reverend Fred Rogers, from Won't You Be My Neighbor, who said, the greatest thing we can do is to let someone know they are loved and that they are capable of loving back. What is the most loving thing to say or do? For Jesus, it was to suffer all that we will ever suffer and more, and come through it and be alive again, to give courage to those who followed him then and follow him now. What is the most loving thing to say or do? For the women that first Easter, it was to have this deep faith in Jesus that nothing could deter them from going to love on him, and then tell others what they found, even though they knew they wouldn't be believed. What is the most loving thing to say or do? For you and for me, to let ourselves be lifted up by Jesus from the things that are deathly to us, day by day, moment by moment, year by year, and move on into his new life every day. He longs to give us courage, his strength, and his hope, new life out of sorrow and difficulty and struggle, as was true for Jesus himself, all out of love, out of a great love. For Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.